الله أكبر. سبحانك. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Shall we have tafsir of Quran straight after the dua? Allahumma anta as-salam wa alayka as-salam. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursalin. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبشر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات أن لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار كلما رزقوا منها من ثمرة رزقا قالوا هذا الذي رزقنا من قبل وأتوا به متشابها ولهم فيها أزواج مطهرة وهم فيها خالدون صدق الله العظيم. Allah Azza wa Jalla relates in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah verse 25, and give good tidings to those who believe and do righteous deeds, that they will have gardens in paradise beneath which rivers flow. Whenever they are provided with a provision of fruit therefrom, they will say, this is what we were provided with before, and it is given to them in likeness. And they will have therein purified spouses, and they will be abide therein eternally. If you remember the last week, we spoke about the Qur'an. وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا. That if you have a doubt about this Qur'an, then bring the surah like this. This was last week. And within that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala related, فَدْءُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ, that bring your helpers and partners to bring a Qur'an also. فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا, and if you cannot do this, وَلَنْ تَفْعَلُوا, and you will never be able to do this, وَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةِ, then fear that fire which will be made from by people, the flames of this fire will be from people and stones. أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ, which has been prepared for the disbelievers. An aspect of the Qur'an is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates glad tidings and then relates punishment, or relates punishment and with glad tidings. This is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah azza wa jalla gives both. So last week, those that disbelieve in the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala related to them the punishment that they will get. And this week, inshallah, this verse we will do, is related to the glad tidings of Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with wabashir, and give good tidings, any khush khabri, as we say. Very interestingly, this verse could have started with wa abshir, that I give glad tidings, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa abshir, meaning you give good tidings. And number one is obviously why. Why is it so that Allah is telling the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you give good glad tidings? The reason being that last week we were talking about people that disbelieved in the Qur'an. The Qur'an was sent to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And physically, while seeing this within their era, they disbelieved in it. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is relating that if they believed in you, because they can only see what is physical, and they believed in what you are saying, meaning the Qur'an, then you also give them glad tidings because they already believe in you. Hence, wabashir, that you give glad tidings. And, you know, bashir was a word that was used for something that is beautiful, and its beauty is apparent to the eye. Meaning, something which is beautiful and everybody agrees is beautiful. You know, because there are certain, you know, when we define beauty, so usually the philosophers, they will define beauty as something which is symmetrical. This is what they define beauty as, something which is symmetrical. Because beauty, as we know, is through the eyes of the beholder. But this is why they say it's a definition for the philosophers is something which is symmetrical. Meaning, and what does that mean? Something which is proportionately balanced. When you find something which is proportionately balanced, you will say that is just right. Amazingly beautiful. That's just proportionately right. And hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rating that wabashir. Bashir is that thing that is beautiful to the eye for everyone. You know, so for example, you can, today's day and age, we can say if somebody brings, I don't know, a Ferrari outside and you say bashir to the person, you know, you've just, glad tidings to you, look at a car you bought. That would make sense because everybody agrees that this car is beautiful. So something which is apparent, you know it's beautiful. You don't need to go deep down the rabbit hole to find it's beautiful. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that give this glad tidings, this beautiful thing to those amanu wa amilu salihat, who believe and do righteous deeds. And this is why, remembering here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just didn't say that give glad tidings to those who believe, who have iman. Because, you know, very interesting in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does say, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, those who believe, لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ, why do you say things that you don't do? And you will find this in the Quran. يَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اِتَّقُوا اللَّهِ فِيرَ اللَّهِ. There's no condition of good deeds in these. Because you know, a person has iman, broadly speaking, remember, we started from Surah Al-Baqarah. So that's why you have to understand, we're trying to understand the whole aspect. We talked about different categories of believers. So one was the true believers. Then one was the munafiqeen, that class themselves as believers. And then you're going to get a third category, which will come later on. Those believers that commit sins upon themselves. So three types, meaning they do a lot of guna. They don't do any good deeds. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being very specific, that give glad tidings to those who believe. Number one, amanu. Wa amilu salihat. But they do good deeds. And this is why that one cannot deserve, in Ma'arif al-Quran, Hazrat Mufti Shafi'i rahimahullah relates here, that one cannot deserve such good tidings on the merit of iman alone. And this is why faith itself cannot, no doubt, saves a person from being consigned to the fires of hell forever. And every Muslim, even if they are sinners, will finally be taken out of hell and after they have undergone the period of punishment. However, no one can altogether escape the fire of hell unless they have good deeds which are defined by the Sharia. That having good deeds is what takes you to Jannah straight away. And وَأَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, this also, you know, good deeds, the aspect that this negates the aspect of that person that says faith is just being obedient, meaning I believe in iman, I have iman, I don't have to do anything. No, you have this one type of thinking, and even before, you have different groups of sects that were in the pre-classical times, where you had different types of sects, different type of groups of people. And one of these groups used to actually say that you have iman, you don't have to do anything now. It was a gumrah firqa, we used to say. A firqa which is misguidance. To an extent, in this today's day and age, you have, I wouldn't say the full aspect of this sect, but you have some people that have this mentality. Iman, just chill, that's it. That's enough for me. I don't need to do anything else. And this is why here Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah ta'ala relates, paradise is achieved with faith and good actions. And although scholars relate that paradise is achieved with faith and the ranks of Jannah are decided on good deeds. Which rank is decided on good deed? Do you go into Jahannam and get purified first? That is decided on your deeds you do. And this is why, whenever a believer does good deeds, it makes, number one, his faith stronger. And he takes away the fault that lies in the heart. This is what Amal al-Saleh do. You know, very interestingly, and I'm just a note, you can say a little footnote here. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala in his Sahih, he also had the opinion that part of iman is good deeds. This is Imam Bukhari, this is the muhaddithin's opinion. That part of iman is having good deeds. They would classify it in the same. And this is an opinion that many of the scholars say that is the opinion of majority of the muhaddithun and the later scholars of this time also. That iman, part of iman, is also good deeds. This comes in within it. And this is why Hadhrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala an relates good deeds. So the question is now, what is good deeds? So he says, good deeds are those that have four things inside them. Good deeds are those that have four things. Number one is knowledge. Meaning the good deed you're doing, where did you get it from? Is it the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Is it from the thinking of the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Number two, intention. Why are you doing this good deed? Why are you doing this good deed? And again, a note on the foot side, Shaykh Yunus rahimahullahu ta'ala, master of hadith, a master, grand master of hadith in our times, just passed away a couple of years ago. He's an absolute, you know, master of hadith. He used to always say, he says, at the beginning, he was talking about when he was studying in Saharanpur many years ago. He said, we were from a very poor background. And he says, I used to keep long hair. And he says, I used to keep long hair, but I didn't have the niyyah of sunnah. I used to keep it because I couldn't afford to get it cut. I used to keep it because I couldn't afford to get it cut. And then he tells us another story. He goes, I used to write notes on anything I could find. So I find a little paper, I would, and because I couldn't afford paper, I would just write notes on it. Even on the book, literally the textbook, I would, the whole thing would be with just notes. And I was thinking that this was the sunnah of Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala. This was the way of Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala as well also. Because he couldn't afford pen and paper, he would literally take anything he could find and he would write notes on it. And this is the way. So number one is intention. Intention is very important. This intention actually takes away and differentiates between something which we do as a riwaj, as a cultural practice, and something we do as Islam. It defines, it gives us this separation. And we will do it for the sake of Allah. So two things. And number three, patience. That any action you do, good deeds, you will need to have patience while doing it. You know, we read namaz. If you ask someone, would you rather read namaz or would you rather be doing something else? Usually the case is that we would rather be doing something else. So you need patience and to struggle against your desires, patience against your desires to do the good deed. And last but not least, you do it only for the sake of Allah. These are the four things that a good deed needs. You have these four things, you will find that this is wa'amilu salihat. Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu writes that this comes into wa'amilu salihat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then relates, wa'amilu salihati jannatin tajri. That give glad tidings to those who believe and do righteous deeds, they will have gardens in paradise. Jannat is paradise, but it technically means gardens beneath which rivers flow. Now Jannat, it literally means a garden. Though in the terms of Sharia and the linguistic of Sharia, it is the name of a place which is in the hereafter that we will achieve forever. Now Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala and relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked the description of paradise. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relates, when a person enters Jannah, they will live forever and never die. Always be happy and never sad or depressed. This is for the hereafter. And their clothes will never become old. And their youth will never cease. It will never finish, never diminish. They ask, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is it made from? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relates, one brick from gold and the other from silver. It's cement from musk. It's stones from pearls and rubies, while its soil is from saffron. And Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah writes on the authority of Sa'd bin Abi Waqas radiyallahu ta'ala an, a Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relates, if a person's comb, where you comb your hair with, the comb of Jannah, if it was even a centimeter of it or a millimeter of it was seen in this world, it would outshine the sun. It will completely outshine the sun. And it relates just as the sun outshines the stars. And here again, and we do another hadith, so many hadith, we'll just do three and we'll finish off with this three hadith. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala relates, I take an oath on the one that has sent this book to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the beauty of the people of Jannah will increase day by day. In the way in this world, wickedness and old age increases day by day. know, that is, this is an aspect of the hereafter for the believer. And this is not something that we are meant to gain in this world. You know, sometimes we are so engrossed in the world to make our world Jannah. Old age has to come. Old age has to come. Good times and bad times have to come. This is the way in this dunya. And here, this is the way aspect of Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rating that those that have believed and in good deeds, meaning acted upon this Quran, we will give them Jannah. جَنَّاتٍ تَجَرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْحَارِ which beneath which rivers flow. Now, consequently, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates here that Allah stated that paradise has rivers that run beneath it, meaning underneath its trees, its rooms, there will be rivers flowing. And it has been reported in a hadith, which Imam Qurtubi again relates in his tafsir, that the rivers that will flow will not be within the outskirts of Jannah only. You know, rivers that flow here usually on the outskirts. So when we go to the beach, you go to the outskirts. But he relates that they will be at every level, and the Jannati will be able and given the ability to move the direction of the river flowing just by touching, just by moving his finger. So he wants to change the direction, he just moves his finger and it's changed. This is done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah relates here, أَنْحَارُ الْجَنَّةِ تَفَجَّرُ تَحْتَ, that the rivers of paradise spring from beneath hills or mountains of musk. And he also reported by Abdullah rahimahullah, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, that the rivers of paradise spring from beneath mountains of musk. You will find rivers from beneath the mountains also coming. And from this hadith, what we learn, number one, is that the rivers of paradise do not run in valleys, and that the banks of Al-Kawthar, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's lake, which we'll come to later on, are made of domes of hollow pearls. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's Kawthar is made from domes of hollow pearls. And the sand of paradise is made from scented musk, while its stones are made from pearls and jewels. And the Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah relates, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us paradise, for verily He is the most merciful and the most gracious. You know, one question that arises here is, this Quran is being revealed 1400 years ago. And, you know, this is, nobody comes in the Quran, جَنَّاتٍ تَجَرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْحَارَ جَنَّاتٍ تَجَرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْحَارَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, that we will give them paradise with rivers flowing beneath them forever. This comes time and time and time again in the Quran. You know, today's day and age, if you want to look for a property and you want it, as I say, landmark value, it will be literally a waterfront property. And the higher you get it up, and the water that you can see beneath, the value of the property goes up also. And, you know, same as hotel, when you book a hotel, that if you look for a seafront hotel, especially if it's high up, you're going to pay a bit more for it. And we can remember this when we were traveling also in Florida, and many of the Muslims had houses, and you're the one that had the house right by the waterfront and is made into 3-4 stories. That is the most beautiful, where you can see a small waterfall also coming out. And that cost the most also. So even after 1400s, those things which are natural, we have a yearning for them also. You know, every person, he has a yearning that when I go on a holiday, I'm able to book a seafront hotel. Amazing view, which gives peace to the heart. You know, the waves, the sound of the water, that is something which is naturally inclined by insan, by human beings. The pureness of the water, the pureness of being able to look at hills, this is something which, even after 1400 years, we love to see. With all the technological advancements, you know, just having those few days and looking at this. SubhanAllah, it's amazing. So hence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is relating here. And imagine this. Imagine, you know, you go past a house and which is absolutely massive. You know, the drive is massive. But you have a peak of the garden. And the garden's humongous. And you see it looks amazing. Then you can just about see bits of the house. Such a big garden. And from that you will think, how amazing will the house be? If the garden's that amazing, how amazing is the house? Then you can hear the water. So this is in the same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is relating to us. جَنَّاتٍ تَجَلِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْحَارِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. Which is forever. Anything you make in this world, it will all, you know, you can, even when you reach, so in this world, when you reach perfection, or when we believe that we have reached perfection, you can't go any more up. Usually what happens is you start going down. And or you have to, it starts going down itself, and then you got to put it back there. With anything, you know, mashallah, this masjid, when it was made, amazing. After a few years, still be amazing. But there will come a time when you will say, this needs to sort out. This needs refurbishing. This, when, these things, amazing at the time, but now you can get X, Y, and Z. Right? This is the way the dunya works. Same thing will be in the house. Same thing in, you know, when the Prophet ﷺ says that a person will look more beautiful every day by day by day. Just more beautiful. Now this is not comprehensible to our minds. Because if you think about it, even when a person, a bride at her wedding, there's only a certain amount of makeup that can be put on. Right? After that, you'd say it's overdone. It's completely overdone. So there's only a certain amount. It can't go more than that amount. Even us, an insan, we can say we look beautiful. Maybe till 40, 50. But once we start hitting the 60s, it's going to diminish a bit. And we have to accept that. And the beauty lies in the diminishing also to an extent. But it's not perfection that we would say it was in the 40s. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, Jannah, we will give you that beauty every single day that we'll get more beautiful. So how will it be at the end? There is no end. It's incomprehensible to the mind. Because we live in a dunya which has time, and that time is not within the akhirah. And our brain is consumed to work with time. Hence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just giving. So this is, it's like that garden we see, we have a little peak of it. That's all we got. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates, كُلَّمَا رُزِقُوا مِنْهَا مِنْ ثَمَرَةِ الرِّزْقَى, that whenever they are provided with a provision of fruit therefrom, the fruits that the believers will have in paradise. Some commentators say that this concerns only the fruits of paradise. So they say that this fruit is completely different. Shape, form, everything is different in paradise. But some commentators from the hadith of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that the fruits of paradise will be alike in shape. Meaning they might look the same as the fruit of the dunya. Just in shape, but much bigger to extent. But each time you taste it, the taste becomes different. So the taste is completely new to the mind. And commentators relate that these fruits would resemble the fruits of the earth in shape alone, but the taste is different. And point out that the believers would have kind of a joy in paradise while eating this that they never had before. No, it's a bit like, you know when you have some amazing food, right? You have amazing food. After a while, if somebody puts that same food on your table again, you say, قَالُوا هَذَا الَّذِي رُزِقَنَا مِنْ قَبْلِ. I had this before. But you're trying to say it's amazing. It was so nice, but I did have it before. Right? But here, each time you have it, the taste becomes better. The taste becomes better. You know, any restaurant you go, the cuisine can only be to a certain extent. You know, you say this restaurant is amazing. Right? You go to it once, twice, thrice, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. But there's only a certain amount they can master to it. Like that specific thing. This is, it gets better each time you eat it. This way, this gets better. We thought it was like last time. Just realize, subhanAllah, it's even better than last time. Right? This is the taste that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is relating. And some scholars here relate that they will get certain food in the morning. Then they will get certain food in the evening. And then when they eat what they eat, morning food, they will say in the evening that we had food in the morning, right? Which was amazing. I mean, it can't get any better. But they will eat the evening food and say, this is better than the morning. Right? This is amazing. This is something that's more better than what was in the morning. Ibn Abi Hatim, who relates here, on the authority of Yahya ibn Abi Kathir, that the grass of paradise is made of saffron. Its hills from musk, and there will be boys of everlasting youth will serve the believers with fruits which they will eat. They will be brought similar fruits, and the people of paradise will comment that this is the same what you have brought us. That they will tell these people, this is what you brought us last time. And it will be said to them, eat, for the color is same, but the taste is different. The taste is different. And in one hadith, it relates that a person, it will come and he will see 1,000 different foods in front of him. And Allah will give him the ability to taste every single type of food also. Because in this world, you know what happens. If you eat more than what you're meant to eat, that's it. That's a problem also. You can only eat a certain limited amount. And very interesting, Masha Ali Thanwi rahimahullah relates here that there is another reason he relates why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the likeness of the fruits of the world. He relates that when a believer does good deeds in this world, they feel element of ecstasy doing the deed, but there's also hardship. You know, doing good deeds is not easy. You have to sacrifice and give time. So it's that when they will eat this fruit will remind them of the hardship and the ecstasy that they done in their good actions. And he will say that this is your reward for what you have done there. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates here, وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَحَّرَةٌ, that they will have therein purified spouses. مُطَحَّرَةٌ, purified is of two types, very simply. Number one is purification of the body and soul. And wherever in the Quran mutahharatun has come, it relates to both. Purification of the soul and the body. Right? So what he means here is that the spouses in Jannah will be clean externally and internally. What that means is they will feel free from everything that is physically disgusting to a person, like excrement, menstruation, and from everything that is morally disgusting, bad temper, unfaithfulness. Meaning, externally, internally, subhanAllah will clean you. Allah will completely clean you. So remember one thing, in this dunya, you cannot be completely cleaned. We try, we do our tazkiyah to clean the heart. And we try our best to clean the externally as well also. But in the akhirah, Allah says that we will give you spouses that are completely pure from both sides. Each and every side. This is why Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala he relates to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked that will the people of Jannah, will they want to touch and love their wives? You know, very interesting. Why did the Sahaba ask this? Why did the Sahaba ask this? You know, if you live with someone for so certain time, you know, the beginning of love, you know, you see this, when a person gets married, there is this kind of infatuation type of love, right? So you always want to be close to the other person. And then, this Jannah is وَهُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ, it's forever. وَهُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ, it's forever. So if you think about it, at the beginning, this type of infatuation, there's this, what we mean by that is this type of love where you want to be close as possible to each other. But then after a while, that goes. And the love changes also. It's still love, but it changes. The caring aspect comes in. The merciful aspect comes in. You know, there's this different aspect of love, right? So they asked the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam that, you know, will they love their wives like and want to be with their wives? وَهُمْ فِي أَخْوَالِ This is forever. So, or the spouse. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said yes. He says that they will say such utterances and such words that they will never get tired of saying or hearing. You know, in this dunya, in the first few years, if you remember when the words that were married, the words are different to maybe what you use today. Right? And then he sallallahu alayhi wasallam relates that such love that they will never get tired of and lust that will last forever. That lust that will last, Allah will put it in forever. Right? And this is what, وَهُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ And this will be the خَالِدُونَ forever. Meaning, خَالِدٌ means something that doesn't perish in time and stays forever in a perfect format. Not just stays forever, but stays forever in a perfect format. This is why one of the du'as that we make, that we have been taught to make by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is, Oh Allah, give me life in a good manner and give me death in a good manner. Right? Meaning, you don't want, do not, and number two is another du'a that we the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has taught us, that give me death before I become in need of people. And become I need of you know different things, and life becomes really hard. So nobody wants to live to an extent where it becomes really difficult for them also. So khalidun is when you live forever in a perfect format, perfection. And this is why the joys of paradise is unlike the joys of the earth that will be short-lived. Nor will person have trembling fear of losing them. You know, we make loads of wealth. But also you have this fear that is it so that the wealth will go? Is it so that this business of mine will go? Is it so that the market will crash? No, this is fear aspect in everything, anything that happens. This is gone. And this is why it will say for the believers, it should be perpetual bliss forever. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is relating to us that وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَحَّرَ وَهُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ Now the question is that, why is these verses relating about Jannah, about these specific things? Right? So we have three things you can kind of say. Number one is, جَنَّاتٍ تَجَرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْحَارِ A garden with rivers flowing beneath them. Meaning a house, a mansion with this beautiful aspect happening. Then, هَذَا رُزِقَنَا مِن قَبْوَ Meaning fruits and food. And last but not least, spouse. These are the three things that Allah has related here. You know, this is innate what human beings look for, by the way. You know, a good life is if Allah blesses you with an amazing house, amazing food, and amazing spouse. You've got these three, you've hit the jackpot, as we say. So in the very same manner that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is notifying the Sahaba radiallahu ajma'een. They gave up all of these three for who? For Allah. They left Makkah to for Medina. In Medina they were poor. By Allah they didn't have food. And as we say spouse, they went for jihad most of their lives. So they had none of these three or very rare amount of these three. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, for me and generally, but also for the Sahaba, that we will give you these three that you cannot imagine in Jannah. For what you have done for this deen, for your amilus salihat, for your good deeds. And all our pleasures in this world are usually derived from these three things. A shelter, a house. Part of the house now is obviously a car. Number two, it's great food. We like to have good food. And number three, spending time, especially the ones that love the spouse. There are three things that we enjoy in our aspect. But this is dunya, and you cannot get perfection in any of these three things. You will never get perfection in any of these three. In the akhirah, Allah will give you, beyond imagine, perfection of all three of these things. And this is what it means, that those that believed in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran and then good deeds, Allah will give them these things in the akhirah. Allah give us ability to understand, ability to amal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us ability to do good deeds so that we are able to go into Jannah also. Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam tabarak ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Allahumma inna la dhikrika wa shukrika wa husn ibadatik. Allahumma rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhab an-nar. Wa sallillahumma ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursalin. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.